Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Let's go to our hotline right now. We're joined by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. He said one Tony Gwynn Jr. was the recent guest on the Brett Boone podcast, as Brett joins us right now. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, Ben. How you doing?
All right. I'm okay.
Oh, no.
It's very polarizing.
Right. So much to unpack.
Yes.
Now,
all right.
I'm obsessed with first pitches because I heard you in the opening say, well, Booney's got the pressure. You know, it's easy for him, though. Okay. Let's go over that. I've got so much tendonitis in my elbow. There was a time, Ben, where I could stand anywhere on the field. You could blindfold me, and I could hit Johnny Olerud.
I don't doubt it. Yes, I don't doubt it.
I'm telling you, 2024, it's a different ballgame.
But no one knows that, Brett. No one knows. Well, they think they're your old Brett Boone.
I know Woodsy, and I know how passionate he is about the game of baseball. I've seen him at fantasy camp up close and personal. And I know he grinds before that first pitch because there's no way he's not going to throw a good one. I'm the same way. I'm under the tunnel. I'm thinking, oh, don't pull it. Don't embarrass yourself. I saw you guys do the threesome. Threesomes are tough.
Threesomes are tough.
And especially those guys catching you, believe me how worried they are. They don't know where those balls are going. I've only done a twosome. I did it with Cameron. I was uncomfortable. They always talk about, oh, you got to go to the rubber.
Yeah.
I ain't going to the rubber. I'm going to the bottom of the mound.
Yep.
And I just want to get it over with. Last time I threw it hard. Usually I've been lobbing it lately. I threw it hard. There was some success. It was a little outside, but the guy caught it. But there's more to it than you think.
Oh,
this
dude.
I've been nervous. I've been a little bit nervous a few times in my life. These first pitches, I grind on them. I mean, they seriously.
It's
Friday
awful.
Night, I'll be like, I'll play it cool, though. You know, I'll be suave. Hey,
sure,
no, this
sure.
is no big deal for me. But inside, I'm going, you better throw a strike. I understand the peril.
Peril is a really great word. I mean, we could not calm down. We couldn't calm down. Remember the scene in Vacation? Where Chevy Chase is at, Christie Brinkley's in the pool, and he's taking all his clothes off, and he's at the edge of the pool, and he does the, this is crazy, this is crazy, this is crazy, and he smacks his hands together.
Right.
One of my buddy Corey was in the stands. He goes, I just saw you doing the Chevy Chase arm swing before the game. This is crazy. And I go, oh, it sounds about right. But we did grind on it.
And you guys both, you got your ball up, and mine was definitely down. Brett, you saw it.
Catchable.
It was down.
Catchable. But Ben, I saw your warming up video on I forget. I don't know.
That was horrible.
Twitter,
I know. That was horrible.
That's when I was a little worried for you.
That was the first time in 20 years I think I've thrown a baseball.
The pitch was fine. The pitch was fine, Ben.
Thank you.
If Woodsy or Pauly would have thrown it in the dirt, I'd give them a little crap because I know how serious they take this.
All right. The pitch was fine. Are the Padres fine? Here we go through just 8 games. Talking about hard to evaluate a team through 8 games, but also important for the Padres to get off to a good start. Haven't done that yet, but kind of everyone's contributed. Everyone's kind of had an off game here or there. What have you seen so far early in the season here for the Padres?
I think you're right when you say early. It is early. There's some positive signs. Campusano's off to a good start. Tyler Wade's done a good job until Machado gets back to third base. I think Tatis has got off. He's got 3 jacks. Machado's got a couple. Bogarts, Cronenworth off to a good start. I think those are all positive signs. Yu Darvish, the elder statesman in that rotation, pitching well. He's got 3 starts already under his belt. I think he's throwing the ball well. Musgrove, he's having a little problem with his location, but he's Musgrove. This guy's he's a bulldog. And he's just getting back into the swing of things. Musgrove's going to be fine. Dylan Cease came out. six punch outs in his first outing. Solid outing. He's going to be a good. He's going to be a good acquisition to that starting rotation. And then Waldron and King. King, I think, is going to be a stud. He's just a guy that's really got to get settled in as a starting pitcher. He's done a lot of bullpen work. He started some for the Yankees. He's gone back and forth quite a bit. But I think these guys are just settling in. You got a new skipper. You got high expectations. The expectations were huge a year ago. But they're somewhat high. You know, guys like me looking at this team, this is a really good team. Got a really good bullpen. I love the addition of Peralta in the bullpen. Matsui hasn't given up a run yet.
He did last night.
Yeah, finally
last night was the first.
Oh, did he give
first
up?
First yeah. One. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we talked about that too.
Solid.
Well, we talked about that, Booney. Like it's you know the hardest for me. I can't even imagine what it's like trying to manage a big league game. It's hard enough in adult league. Hell, it's hard enough in T-ball. Really, like I can't imagine having to know what buttons to push and when. And I think one thing that everyone forgets is the game, it's such a slow game, such a languid game. No, it's not. It speeds up on you so fast. And I don't care if you're playing fantasy camp, adult league, pro ball, whatever. It speeds up on you so quickly. And everything starts rushing past you. And if you're Mike Schilt, you got to be thinking three innings ahead. And, you know, guy gives up five knocks in a row. You better have somebody ready, and it better be the right guy. And you push the buttons early, and it works. And then, like last night with Matsui, it didn't. So we just – no one can really – again, eight games in, no one can really put their finger on – you know, because we're hitting the ball harder than the other team. We're striking out less than the other team. We're hitting better with runners in scoring position, and we lose 5-2. It's just that stupid game that we all love.
Well, right. And it's baseball, and it's the first week. Like I said, a year ago, very disappointing. The guys in that clubhouse know how disappointing their year was a year ago.
Yep.
So they want to get off to the good start. Well, I look at this division. You played two against the Dodgers. You played four against the San Francisco Giants, who you split with. And by the way, Giants are good. They've got a really good rotation. They've made the most additions in the offseason that I think have helped their ball club. So it's not yet. Now, bringing the St. Louis Cardinals, not the biggest team to not beat. So you lost first two. It'd be nice to get one today.
Big time.
To get one, salvage one out of that series. But it's so early. I don't worry about that. I just look at this division. I mean, look, the Pittsburgh Pirates are 5-0. The Detroit Tigers are 4-0. The Milwaukee Brewers, who lost their big guy Burns and nobody has any expectations, Council goes to the Cubs. They're 4-0. So baseball, there's no rhyme or reason. Everybody will fall into where they're supposed to be as we get going. Middle of April, late in April, let's see where the Padres are at. But this is a really talented team, and I just think it's really important for Tatis Jr. You know, he's at a point now. He's a young man, still a young man. But he's at a point to kind of be that point man. And as the team goes, Tatis goes. I think he's that type of talent. He's a generational talent. He's like the kid in center field for the Seattle Mariners, Julio Rodriguez. He's like an Acuna for the Atlanta Braves. He's kind of the leader of that team. Talk about all the other players and a lot of great players. Machado, the veteran. But I think that team's going to go as Tatis goes. It's good to see him off to a good start. I always talk about that team. And the thing I worry about that I don't hear talked about too often with the Padres is you've got a lot of shortstops playing different positions. And everybody says the right thing when the camera's rolling. I'm doing what's best for the team. But believe me, as a middle infielder, there's a little ego that comes with being a middle infielder. A second baseman, especially a shortstop, because for me, that's the most talented defensive position on the field. And when you're asked to play a different position and you've got a bunch of them playing different positions, yeah, they're going to say the right thing and say, hey, this is about winning ball games. But deep down, you're a little like, wait a minute. You know, I add a lot to the middle. Why aren't I not playing the middle? You got a young Cronenworth playing first base. Yep. Does he feel I got to hit more because I'm playing first? You know, you sign Bogarts to come over here and be your shortstop for a big deal. All of a sudden, you're asked to play second. Tatis going to right field. Yeah, he won that platinum glove, and that eases a little bit. But believe me, Tatis is a young enough man to think, damn it, I'm a shortstop, so I'm playing right field. So I worry about that a little bit as they mature and they get a little more time under their belt and more experience. That tends to go away, and it really is a team thing. But early on, and I don't fault them for this. Because I remember as a young player, it means something. Like, hey, I'm really good at this position. Don't move me. You know? And it can be something, a small thing, but handled correctly by the skipper, which is Schilt, you can navigate. And I'll tell you what takes care of all this and all the sideshows and the mental side. Winning ball games. You win ball games, it seems like everybody comes together.
100%.
Talking to Brett Bone here on Ben and Woods. Insider calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry, backed by product experts. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. You mentioned Mike Schilt, how he's handling this team. And the transition does seem to have been pretty smooth from Bob Melvin through spring training. Lots of positive comments. What is that like for a player, though, playing for a new manager? Do you have to tailor things differently, do things differently when your skipper has changed, or are you just you're the guy and you just go out and you do your work no matter who the manager is?
I've had great transitions from manager to manager, and I've had some really rough ones where it really affected the team. It's all up to that manager, how he comes in, the precedent he sets, what he expects. Guys, big league players don't like to be treated like kids and having to do this and having to do that. You know, I remember that famous in 2001 where Brenly came into the Diamondbacks. They ended up winning the World Series after a Buck Showalter, who was kind of rules-oriented at that time of his career. Brenly said, I expect you to show up and bust your butt. And that was it. He treated them like men. They loosened up, and they went and they played. It's all about the tone they set. I had a guy in Cincinnati, and this is Jack McKeon, who's managed 100 years in the big leagues. But at the time, he was in our front office in Cincinnati. He came down onto the field, and he really brought a calm to that clubhouse that was kind of chaotic that particular year. I forgot what it was. I think it was 97, 98. He really brought a calm to that room, and guys wanted to play for him. You know, when you find a guy that you respect and you come to the ballpark and you want to play, that's when you found a good skipper. The skipper can only do so much, and I talk about that all the time. All they can do is prepare, put their players in the best position they know how to succeed. And once the national anthem's over, there's only so many things a skipper can do. Yeah, I can get the righty up, I can get the lefty up, play the X's and O's. Yeah, today you can do it on a computer. But it's managing people. And I think so far, and everything I've heard about Mike Schilt behind the scenes has been positive.
Well, Booney, I always appreciate your perspective, and I look forward to our next conversation coming up soon. But thank you for your time today.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate
you. Good first pitch. Be pulling for me.
Good luck on yours, buddy.
Brett Boone would know, and now we're definitely pulling for him as well. That was Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Again, Insider Calls presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.